Welcome, one and all, to Ladies with Gumption, episode 189, If I Could Turn Back Time.
No, come on, Tati, because May put some voice into it last time. You have to be Cher. You have to become her.
I don't remember this song, so y'all have to...
If I could turn back time.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Yes, Jessica.
Let's keep going.
I need to get my references.
That was very beautiful. Well... Shares, If I Could Turn Back Time. There you go.
There you go.
We had Ladies with Gumption. We recap these TV in a flash. I am Tatiana, and I'm here with
Jessica
and May.
You can find us at ladieswgumption@gmail.com if you want to send us feedback. DCTV Gumption on Twitter, ladieswgumption.tumblr.com if you want to send us asks on Tumblr. And of course, the actual podcast is. Wherever you can find podcasts. Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and Patreon for the low, low price of $10 a month, where we'll talk about everything, everywhere, all at once. The MCU, HBO Max shows, and popular Netflix series. You can find that at patreon.com/DCTVGumption. Going into news, the CW Upfronts has revealed that they are still discussing the future of The Flash. And when it will return, which is, I guess, or if it will return past season 9. So season 9 is happening, but not until mid-season. And Stargirl will be in the fall. Superman and Lois, also mid-season. Also, Warner Brothers canceled the Wonder Twins movie because they're poor now. So, thoughts, questions,
but also, somebody mentioned like the Discovery CEO was like, I don't like the story. They're too niche. So he's like,
this is true.
It's true. I was just only upset at the fact that CW was thinking about renewing The Flash past season 9.
It's so
they're
concerning.
Holding us hostage. Why are they doing this?
Right. They must be really, if they're still considering that, they must be confident. At least all I can say is they must be confident that people are coming back. So, that's all. I guess that's good. Imagine. Oh my god. No, I won't even imagine. It's fine. They're coming back, and then hopefully season 9, everyone will say no more. We are done.
I'm still holding out that, you know, they dropped all these other shows and moved around some budget so they have more money to give to The Flash. Specifically one actress on The Flash in particular.
Right, exactly. Exactly. That's
and
what I'm
like better show writers or runner or somebody, like, you know. Come on.
I would think that some of their contracts are up this season though, if they've been on for three. Yeah, writers. So maybe we could get some new ones next season. Mm. But again, the vision is the showrunners, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Sadly.
That is indeed sad. Now, for the episode itself, we will do the Flash episode and the Flash episode. So we will share our joys, our lack of joys, our feedback. And then nominate two Ladies with Gumption, presumably, because there are 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So, May can take it away.
All right. Side A is called Dead Zone. The Flash goes into the Steel Force in an attempt to find and rescue Iris. Joe is against it because his gut says that Barry shouldn't trust Dion, despite the Force having helped Iris in the past. Barry goes anyway because he's finally feeling proactive about his wife's storyline, blaming himself for not doing anything sooner as he should. So into the Steel Force he goes, but Joe was right because the plot wanted him to be, and so something is wrong with Dion, who was after the sparkly green thing he and Barry were using to track Iris for himself. He takes it and sends Barry to the Dead Zone, aka Joe West's house, where we finally get to see a picture of the always absent Jenna. Through the timeline void, Nora is called back to the past and into the Steel Force to help her dad escape, but they ultimately fail in Barry's mission to save Iris. Unseen, she is somewhere unknown, but she is okay, according to Barry. Elsewhere, Chester is called upon by Captain Kramer to check on his device that was left behind in a building. He freaks out because he realizes Allegra may have been right. He shouldn't have been talking about making certain tech online, because anyone could use it to hurt people. But apparently, this random user was trying to help people. But after Chester leaves his desk, someone mysteriously hacks into it to download all the info he has there. Dun, dun, dun. I won't even bother with the Caitlin and Mark stuff, because Mark's like, no, we don't do this. And Mark's like, yes, yeah. Let's do it. And darkness ensues. So, what was Mark Joy?
mostly the stuff in the Still Force. I feel like, you know, good on Barry for realizing how, like, I don't even want to say good on Barry because, like, basically it was the writers like, oh, we're sorry that we haven't been writing about this for episodes. We're just going to put it all in here that Barry's like, oh my God, I have a wife and I have to find her. But, you know, the acknowledgement, I feel like the acknowledgement shouldn't even be Barry's. It should be the writers, really. But anywho, all of the interesting things once they got into the Speed Force and, you know, seeing Dion again before that turned weird. But how the Still Force works in that stuff is past, present, future, all at the same time. The CC, excuse me, CCC media scene was interesting because there's like a lot of tidbits in here that we can infer are set up for storylines that are happening at the end of the season. So you had Allegra arguing with Taylor about, you know, some kind of story that Taylor wants to run and Allegra doesn't want to run, which obviously we can infer from Taylor's conversation with Iris that she is investigating new metas around the city, and Allegra is one of those metas and a meta dumb enough not to have a costume when she's out fighting crime. So I'm pretty sure it's pretty easy for Taylor to figure out who she was. But that was the interesting. And then, of course, when we got to see 2049, I love that Nora 2.0 this time was like a baby budding journalist. So that was really nice to see. That was like unexpected kind of moment. We didn't see Bart, but we heard Bart. So it's good to get those things. We didn't see 2049 Iris, even though we know that she's alive. So that is, you know, the fact that there are kids and Iris is still alive in 2049, those are all good signs of coming, what's coming down the road. I like that Nora was, Barry somehow like was able to connect to Nora and pull her into the Matrix. I mean, the Still Force. And how they use Iris's hairbrush. So you get a callback from earlier episodes. Finally, now with Barry trying to tap into the Still Force and learning how to control it and not be stuck in a dead zone forever. So I felt that scene was interesting. And Barry, Neo, you are the one, Matrix-y, Barry opening his like Still Force third eye or whatever. So that was pretty interesting stuff. And just Barry and Nora's interactions, the fact that, you know, when Barry's seeing into the future, Nora has a wife. So that, I think Eric had an interview where he said that Nora's sexuality would be brought back. And it was just, and that was it. That was so much. You have a wife. Congratulations. But that Barry's also married with kids. So those are all like really nice little tidbit type things. And like, I think people were worried about the family scene, like when Nora and Barry got out of the Still Force and that something big, would, like Nora would be talking about her sexuality or coming out to people without Iris there. And that really didn't happen. There was, really wasn't much more than like a debrief of what went on in the Still Force. So for what it was, I think that it was a better conversation than what people were envisioning as, you know, Iris's family having moments without her kind of thing. So overall, I think the journey into the Still Force was very interesting. I think the only thing I'll say about Chester's storyline was interesting was when he thought that someone was using it for evil, because we remembered that conversation and I was like, this is stupid. Chester, you're being dumb. Allegra is right that you put everything out there and not everybody's going to be, you know, have the same kind of mindset as you are. And then it's, they seem to negate that again or turn it around. But then you have the ending with the hacking. So hopefully, you know, this was like a test or a small tidbit of what it could be. And now I feel like we're going to get it on a grander scale. Hopefully in the next one or two episodes that are Iris Light, probably, because I don't want to keep talking about Chester or Allegra once we can finally get back to Iris in the actual story. I was rocking with Mark for the first part of his storyline with Caitlin, because he was making all the sense, and then because the plot demanded it, he was like, you know what, let's make a Frankenstein sister, let's do it. And then he disappeared and we never see him again, so, you know, thanks, Mark.
Beautiful. That's exactly what we love to hear. For myself, I really liked, I mean, everything relating to Barry and Nora spending time together, working together, hearing about the future, seeing yet another version of what Nora has turned out to be, and that this time she is more like Iris, or, you know, that her passion coincided with Iris's. And I thought it was hilarious that she's, like, basically, like, transcribing her article about herself and then making herself look good in it. And I was just like, that sounds about right for the CW-verse. This is what ethics in journalism is. So that part, that scene was really funny and cute. And then the whole, like, little, like, Wizard of Oz, like, click your heels three times to get back home situation was also fun. The kind of cheesy that The Flash should be, I guess. I also liked that when, you know, Dion made the betrayal turn that still doesn't make sense because we don't understand anything that's going on with the Speed Force storyline, that people, like, the immediate reaction was, like, what is wrong with Dion? Like, what has happened to him? And not just, like, damn, right, Dion is a meanie. We hate him. So I guess that was good as well. I did like that we saw Tinia's mom in the Speed Force. Whatever we want, time force, whatever the fuck it's called, Steel Force. There we go. We saw Tanya's mom in the Steel Force. So we know, like, we're lost in time, whatever. And then that helps, like, the reason we're not seeing new footage of Iris there is because Candace is not here. But we can assume that that Iris is also in there somewhere, and can be restored. As well as, of course, the fact that the future is still quote unquote secure. Which kind of felt like a way, this is not a joy, so, but it's also not a not joy. It's like a way to assure the audience, like, no, Iris is not leaving. Like, you know, this is actually not that high stakes of a storyline because the future is secure. If this was any other season, then the future would not be secure and that would be why it's urgent. But since they don't know how to write urgency, they're like, don't worry, happy ending, which, whatever, I'll take it since I currently don't have security. In the real life version of it, I will take it in the fake life version. What else? I did like Allegra sort of like building Chester up and then making him feel better about her having been right anyway in the first place. and then the cute little like heartwarming moment of like, oh no, it's okay, there are good people, even though it's completely unrealistic. I'm happy to see it anyway. And then, like, the hacking thing at the end is, like, interesting, maybe leading somewhere, and also not necessarily related to what he had done, so it's still okay. Both things can exist at the same time. What else? I did, like you said, Jessica, I was totally with Mark, and I was like, Mark is so cool, I totally support him, until the thing happened. But he was making some sense, and he remained more interesting than he had previous to the death. So I guess that is good. Also, I guess it's like interesting, even though I don't believe that this would happen, it's interesting to see Caitlin become this or in this light, you know, like just like one, this like one track mind of bringing Frost back without caring about the consequences. Like maybe she'll just make herself into Frost and we'll just get it all over with. We'll return to how it was before.
Then what will you do, Mark? Then what will you do?
Marry Caitlin! Yay! And leave the show. All right. And so that is my joys.
Like, and then that concludes the segment. No, I have thoughts too. I thought that this episode was a lot stronger than I thought it was going to be. Obviously, I have feelings about the lack of Iris, but that will come later. I did think, like, anytime they go into the Speed Force or the Steel Force, it's still the Speed Force, is really interesting because we get to kind of get a feel of like what it's kind of like inside, because we always just see Barry running, but we don't really know what goes on there, what the forces are up to, or even like what their pockets of the Speed Force look like. And I thought it was interesting that they also mentioned that the forces must also be infected, like all of them, which is why they're not responding. Because I was like, oh, it's just Dion. Like, where is everybody else? What are they up to? Or whatever. It was like a nice way to tell us that they cannot be a part of the storyline. And just like the Steel Force stuff was really cool, kind of seeing how the future and the present and the past kind of all exists and kind of on repeat. Like, it's kind of a, it's a little bit of a scary place at the same time watching. Like, I can't imagine what it's like for like Tanya's mom and Iris being there, right? Like, just watching things on repeat, like with the whole Allegra scene, which was really interesting because I feel like I want Taylor to drag her to some extent later on down the line. So that was really interesting and kind of gave us a clue as to what, where this was going, but also just the seeing like old headlines with like Zoom and Godspeed in the same newspaper. And also just seeing Nora and Barry running. I feel like we haven't seen Barry run in so long, and watching it repeat like in slow-mo was kind of cool. I really did like the scenes with Barry and Nora specifically, because I feel like Nora brought a really nice breath of fresh air to an episode that was kind of did feel a little bit soulless in the sense that, like, because Iris is gone, there's no one there to kind of like anchor the episode or anchor the Steel Force itself. So her being there, kind of being level-headed and thinking through things, was really a really nice touch. And also still getting a glimpse of like 2049. And I love the fact that like she and Bart are roommates pretty much in the future, and that they still annoy each other even though he does not appear on screen. And I just like love seeing Nora any time of the day. So to see her be in the Steel Force with like the plans and how to get out and things like that was really great. Even like the scene with Barry meditating, a Wally mention, and then like having Joe being like, what the fuck are you doing in my living room?
It was so hilarious. I wanted to be like, Joe, shut the fuck up. He's like, hey,
why are you here? My screen.
Leave him alone. It was such an old dad moment.
It really was. He's so tired. Always came out with one mug. So all of that was great. And also just like something being wrong with Dion was really interesting, because I really like Dion and I hope that nothing's going to happen to him. Kramer being in the episode in general and like having a nod to Indigenous art was really nice, and getting to actually see them. And just kind of like Chester being able to do something that was on his own rather than like, you know, kind of following in Barry's footsteps all the time. He's like, oh, I get to do this. Like, I'm so cool. I'm a consultant, blah, blah, blah. So just seeing his happiness in that moment of getting to show off like what he can do and his skills to Kramer was really nice. And also like Mark for the first half of his little mini storyline, because I was like, I was rooting for you. And then I was not. But leading into that, but on that note, what did not spark joy?
I have to say that I am very glad that we skipped last week, because Tanya in that scene with her and Barry, and Barry's like, you know, I need you to help me figure out your powers, find out what happened to Iris. And Tanya basically paid him dust and just like spat in his face about Iris. And my mind was full of so many expletives. we have like a pretty edgy show as it is, with like, you know, curse words and all that kind of stuff, but it would not have been good. So I have a week to decompress from that, but it's still fuck Tanya 2022. I just thought it's like one of those things where this level of hatred towards a character is usually expressed at Iris a lot of the time. I don't know any other character on the show other than Barry, and usually that's on like Caitlin on the receiving end, like, you know, telling Barry off like she did with in that previous episode or whatever, and having all her emotions thrown in his face, Tanya having all of her emotions thrown in Iris's direction. It only happens with Iris in the sense that Iris never has the space to have half as much emotion towards anybody else. And for no reason, like, because it's not even Iris's fault. And there's no even like consideration of that for Tenya. I don't really care about Tenya. I mean, I'm sure that it makes sense in her mind that, you know, it's Iris's fault or whatever. But I was just thinking, and Barry, just let it happen. Like, Barry, what are you doing? Like, why did you let her talk about your wife like that? And I was just thinking, like, if Sue was here, my girl Sue was here, she would have set Tenya straight by now. So I was, like, high-key annoyed at that. I'm already pre-annoyed that when they actually reunite the mom with, you know, Tenya's entitled ungrateful ass, that there will be no apology or, you know, it'll turn around to Iris saying, I'm so sorry, apologizing to Tenya when Tenya should be apologizing to Iris. So I'm already just pre-annoyed at whatever that will look like because I know it's coming. Other stuff, I thought the choice to make Joe the one to have doubts or question whatever that, it was such a bad, I'm questioning that choice, that writer's choice to do that because it doesn't make any sense. Like, Joe shouldn't give a fuck, like, whatever you have to do to go and get his daughter back. He should be, like, the most irrational. Like, next to Barry, he should be the most irrational person in the room. So the fact that Barry was like, oh, yeah, I'll just go into the Silph Force. And Joe has no reason to doubt why going to the Silph Force is a bad thing. Like you said, all you know about the Forces and Dion is that they are on our side now. So I don't know if they're trying to be, like, his detective senses were tingling or whatever, but it just didn't seem to be in character to have Joe tell Barry to slow down and not save Iris. So I thought that was a really weird choice. Like, if you have to have somebody, I would have rather it been like Cecile, you know, let her do that instead of Joe. I don't like that choice. I think Caitlin is super selfish. The way that she kind of tried to manipulate, she emotionally manipulated Mark into doing what she wanted. And I just think, you know, time and time again, she's shown to be like a selfish person and doesn't really face a lot of consequences for that. So don't like that. That didn't bring joy either. And I guess in general, like, I don't know. I could say stuff about Chester and Allegra, but why? So I think I'll stop there.
They're not important enough.
They're not important enough for me to hate.
I mean, right off the bat, I obviously don't like that we don't have Iris present for these episodes. And I feel like no matter what Eric says about it just being, like, you know, more effective for the storyline, I certainly do not think so. I certainly think it'd be more effective to see future Iris when he doesn't have present Iris, and it would be more effective to see her in the still force but not be able to reach her, like, obviously, just like basic storytelling.
If she disappears to Barry and Barry doesn't know where she is, I still don't know where she is.
Well, yes, of course, but just like basic narrative, like storytelling, like, yeah, there's a reason they showed us Iris getting murdered 60 times in season 3, right? Like, there is a reason. So I just don't buy that explanation, and if it is true, I think that it's the wrong choice. So that right off the bat, okay. 100% agree with you about Tenya. Like, what an asshole. Just showing no regard or empathy whatsoever for Iris. Like, you can be mad and then still be like, oh man, I guess she didn't do it on purpose. Like, I feel bad. I hope you find her, and please find my mom too when you find her, instead of whatever the hell she was saying. Which was like, if you want your mom back, which clearly you don't want her that bad because you didn't even ask him nicely to bring her back, then maybe don't be a disrespectful little bitch. So I really did not like that. I agree with you. Tenya sucks balls. Okay. Other than that, I mean, like, yes, obviously I didn't like that they had Joe be so kind of nonchalant about it, or just, you know, be like, well, of course I care. I just can't show it. Even though I just spent last week bawling over, Frost's watercolors, you'd think that I would be able to show a little more emotion about my daughter.
With all the colors of the wind.
I guess he released all his emotions then, and now he just doesn't have that many left for Iris. Whatever. So yeah, that's definitely not the person that I would have chosen, or at least I think I would have had him be pushing Barry and then pull it back when he realizes it's dangerous. Like, he could have been, so I don't know. Again, that's not the narrative choice that I would have selected, but that's fine, I guess. That's what we did. Like I alluded to earlier, it just does not make sense to me that Caitlin is so insistent on bringing Zombie Frost back when she literally just did that with Ronnie. Like, what was the point of that storyline to then see the consequences of trying to do something like that with even with someone that you love, only to then immediately lose Frost and then do it again? And well, like, not
Mark pointed that out explicitly in the narrative.
Right. It's like, and so it just seems like it's like not even like, I guess it's regression, but just like overall, it just makes her look really dumb. So I don't know, whatever. Whatever you guys want to do with that. I don't have a problem with Justin Allegra, so I don't even have anything to say about that. But it's not like I have a excitement with it. Like, overall, I agree that, I mean, I did think this was a stronger episode than I expected it to be. But it really did rest on, like, the weight of Bart and Nora. And then all of the other surrounding plot lines are still just, like, not really up to par, in my opinion. So, yeah. Of course, I'm also biased because until Iris returns, I will not allow things to be good. But it wasn't a struggle either.
Yeah. I really just want to be like, we march at dawn! And head to the writer's room and give him a piece of our mind. But we are much nicer people than that. So we'll talk about it on this podcast. I completely agree about the lack of Iris. I think, like you said, Todd, you could have seen her in the Steel Force. And I don't really know why they thought we cared enough about Allegra's future storyline to even include it, because I would have much rather seen Iris have, like, a repeat, something in the past or something that happened recently, like, kind of be on a loop, because that would be more interesting to see, kind of to, like, learn about Iris through the Steel Force and maybe things Barry hasn't seen before, because I think that would have been a much more compelling storyline, just like when he's gone into the Speed Force before, we've seen, like, really either creepy things or something that is going to push his emotional arc forward. And I feel like we're not really getting that with Iris at all. She's just gone, poof. And it's just a really strange choice. Like, I feel like they did a better job when she was kind of like in the mirror, but in the, like, after she got zapped and she saw, like, the older version of herself, and she had to face, like, different versions of herself for that, you know, 10 minutes of that episode. That was more interesting than what we got here. And I feel like it's a really missed opportunity to not have that at all. Even like seeing Iris in the future or seeing her be stuck and have to deal with that, because it's like knowing Iris is supposedly okay is not enough, especially when Barry knows and she told him that when she was stuck last time, she didn't see her future. So that can be something that's really scary, even if, you know, he knows that she's in the future and things will be okay. That's not okay now to know that your wife is stuck somewhere and you're not trying your hardest to bring her back and using all of this tech and, you know, advancements that you supposedly have at your fingertips to not do anything about it. And it's just so frustrating because it's like, ideas are right there and you can utilize them and you don't, because you just don't want to have Candace in the episode. That's what that says to me. So whatever. Tinya's a little, she's an asshole. She's written terribly as like a teenager or whatever she's supposed to be, because it's like, how long can you be mad? And it's like, don't you even want to know about what happened to your mom? If she is supposedly in the same place as where Iris is, maybe you could work together to get her out and then be happy with your mom instead of just being forever pissed that Iris sent her there. So I just feel like it's like Barry's talk down villains. I don't understand why Tinya is being so stubborn, you know? So that was really frustrating. And then, I mean, Chester and Allegra, the only thing I will say about their storyline is I like Chester, and Allegra's fine most of the time, or she's like not, she's an afterthought. Like, I don't really think about her too often. But the whole scene where like he grabbed her hand, I was like, am I supposed to feel something? Because I don't. And it's just like so awkward to watch because they really don't have chemistry. And I don't know why we keep getting like little crumbs of this supposedly romantic storyline that they're going to shove in our faces later and still don't feel anything. So I don't know. Caitlin is a, I wouldn't even say she's an interesting character anymore. She's never been that interesting, but like doing this right after Frost died, like you said in the narrative, Mark's already said it, like you just saw what happened when you thought that Ronnie was gonna, you know, he thought he was alive and you're gonna do whatever you could to help him, and that blew up in your face and it hurt people. And I just feel like she's so selfish and not thinking clearly, and she's just gonna do whatever she wants, and that's it. Like,
she
didn't
care if she hurt people.
She didn't care. She doesn't even care that she's digging up her Frost's grave. Like, why? What is wrong with you? You know. And so I feel like that whole storyline is just, it doesn't make any sense. And I don't even feel sorry for her at all. Like, the fact that she's so desperate to bring Frost back, because it just makes me, it's just really sad that this has been her whole life and that she has no life outside of this. And so the fact that she's so desperate to bring her back, it's like, you need to move on and maybe take Frost's advice to actually go live. And I feel like that would have been more compelling than trying to bring back Zombie Frost. But what did our feedbackers think about this episode?
I think they're also on hiatus because
Sonya was the only one. That, like Sonya sent.
Yeah, Sonya only sent feedback. But I will say, while Tati's looking at that up, mm-hmm. one thing that this is like a minor no joy that kind of annoyed me is like when Barry was in the Steel Force in CCC Media, and he was reading like a newspaper that said like, I don't know what the lady's name was, Vanya or somebody was editor in chief, and he's like, Vanya, and he was like confused by that. I'm like, I don't even know who this woman is supposed to be for you to be confused. Like, what am I supposed to do with it? Because if you don't go to CC Media enough or invest time in Iris' storyline when she was here, Allegra doesn't even spend time there.
And so like, I'll go to CCC so it doesn't combust. I was like, you are a supervisor there. You work there.
Yeah. You're supposed to be running the show. So obviously something went down, but I don't know how I'm supposed to feel. Like, is Vanya the good person to be in charge until Iris gets back or not? Like, we don't really know because we don't go over there. The only person we know is Taylor because she's fighting the good fight. Like, her in her place. But other than that, we don't really see anything.
Yeah, and also, if that newspaper is from the future and Vanya's editor-in-chief, like, so you're saying, like, how long is Iris going to be stuck here, right? So this is why I hate the lack of urgency, because, like, just because she's around in 2029 or 2049 doesn't mean that she's, you know, you want her to be stuck in, like, you did in the mirror for, like, a couple of months and you just sat around. At least then he didn't know that Iris was gone.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to say.
You can't say the same here.
Yeah, I forgot to say that I did think that it was a positive that he was like, oh, man, I really should have done something about that. I suck. Yes. Correct. So I support that. But anyway, we do have feedback from Sonia, our only beloved listener. Thank you, Sonia. And before getting into feedback, wanted to talk about the casting for new Percy Jackson Disney Plus series. I'm here for the casting of Annabeth and Grover. I think it's clear that Candace's casting as Iris 8 years ago really opened doors for Black actors and actresses to be cast as originally white characters. However, I'm annoyed with all the hate that Leah is receiving as she is only 12 years old and is getting harassed online. It was great to see Rick calling people out, which is more than anyone has done for Iris, or Candace, as the people in charge of The Flash. WB, DC, and CW ignored the hate. I liked how Candace posted on her Instagram about how amazing Leah is. Also, WTF is CW doing? How do they cancel so many shows at once? With CW, I always felt like it was a bit of a safety net because as badly as the shows did in the ratings, I felt secure knowing they would come back. Now I'm scared to watch shows. What if they get canceled? Don't worry, Sonia. There won't be that many shows left to watch. They better bring Ryan, Sophie, Luke, and Mary on The Flash at some point because I need Wildmore and I need Hamill Fox together. That's right. They left Hamill Fox in the wind. Now onto the feedback. As far as an Irisless episode goes, this one wasn't too horrible. It's nice to see Nora again, even though Dion literally turned on Barry and trapped him in the Steel Force. It was cool to see him as well. The fact that Cecile's avoiding her meta clients and hiding out in Star Labs after saying last episode she would take on more meta clients, I forgot to say that. Definitely dislike. He's just hilarious.
Oh, I forgot to say that too. That was so annoying.
Why did she suck at her job?
You don't even work in the first place to be hiding out from people.
Right?
I know. These people are so willy-nilly about their jobs. I'm like, you guys are just something else.
What is with Seal's powers and never having a steady point? She can reach 5 state lines with her powers, but a couple episodes ago she couldn't feel Caitlin's grief. All right. I love the fact that Mark was like, you literally almost killed all of us trying to resurrect your dead husband. Have you learned nothing? And the fact that Caitlin literally wants to exhume Frost's body, like, chill the F out. Dying laughing the way Chester answered the phone and then realized his mistake when it turned out to be Kramer. Does caller ID not exist? Joe is fine going to the Speed Force, with Barry going to the Speed Force to save his son, but he draws a line at Barry going to the Steel Force to save his daughter. It was weird to make Joe the mouthpiece of the maybe you shouldn't do it moment. It would have made more sense to have another team member do so. Absolutely. I feel like Do You Have a Daughter, Joe, needs to come back. Barry has been inside the Steel Force without being one with the Force gods or whatever, and he didn't need to clear it with any others. So why is this time different?
No.
The future moment with Allegra and Taylor must be when Taylor figures out Allegra is one of the mystery women helping the Flash. Which, girl, she doesn't even wear a costume or a mask, so how is this a journalistic scoop? Right, you literally know her, and she's not wearing a mask, and you still have to investigate. All right. Wazo still being in the Steel Force, and Dion challenging Barry's humanity by saying they can only save Iris reminds me of Spock Barry only saving Iris from the Mirrorverse. Oh, true, true, true. I love the bit with the indigenous art in Kramer's office. It was a little weird to focus on that because it had nothing to do with the story, but my dad used to work for the First Nations Health Authority in Vancouver, and we have a lot of indigenous art, the indigenous art that Kramer has in her office. Okay. Which is obvious because the show films in Vancouver.
That's awesome.
Yeah. The future CCC media showing a different editor-in-chief, as well as the headline about the trickster invading Tibet, was interesting. Chin stroke. I can't believe the only Force god I actually like turned on Barry. Dion, why are you doing this to me? Nora's a... But it's okay. Someone's doing it to Dion. It's okay. Nora's a reporter following in Iris' footsteps and was scared Barry would be mad that she was no longer following in his footsteps. That was so cute. Love the little reference to her wife and reference to her being LGBT and the nod to Bart's future children. I knew Chester's live streams were going to come back and bite her in the ass. And the fact that at the end of the episode, the person he thought he was helping clearly hacked into Star Labs database makes it even worse. Wonder how that'll put it. Oh, is that? It's the same person? Okay, just kidding. I thought it was just a different person. But I guess we'll see. Mark is going to help Caitlin bring Frost back. This will not end well. Thank you very much, Sonia. And we will find out how a Benjamin Button Barry comes in the next episode. Part 2, which is going to begin very soon. We don't need predictions because part 2 already happened. Or whatever. So, do we have a little assumption? Oh, sorry. What were you going to say?
I do have a prediction once I remember what it is. I think about the editor-in-chief thing. I don't think it's that far into the future. I just think it's part of the Allegra storyline again. So, Taylor exposes Allegra, and then all of CCC media revolts and says they basically, get out the guillotine and be like, we don't want you anymore. We're going to come up with our own. We're going to vote for a more competent leader.
So it's still while Iris is missing kind of thing. Is what you're saying.
Yeah, okay. I think so.
Okay. I support that prediction.
All right. Well, for side B then, I guess we can, do you want to do the Lady with Gumption now or just kind of leave it till the end?
We can do nominees at the end.
Nora.
Side B, forget me not. The team gathers not to look for Iris, but to play D&D. After the game, David Singh returns to tell Barry about Dr. Peter Orloff, who has been stealing R&D tech for unsanctioned research that will help him make the Fountain of Youth. When Barry confronts him, he is whammied by his machine and starts to age prematurely. The more he runs, the faster he deteriorates, losing his memory also, afraid he won't remember Iris before she comes back. Barry wants to stop the gamma ray from zapping the city and making himself immortal, and lo and behold, Barry is back to being his younger self, even though his old self only had a few grays. That was ridiculous to me. I thought they were actually going to make him an old man. Elsewhere, Joe is going through a crisis in retirement, not really sure what to do with himself. Singh tells him it's not his retirement that's the problem. It's him, because of his refusal to change and embrace his future. This leads Joe to finally embrace D&D instead of being a Scrooge about it. Finally, Barry goes to see Caitlin, who's pretty much lost it, because Carla is concerned and he discovers what she's been up to regarding bringing Foss back and destroys her lab. Whoops, but not really. What sparked joy?
I guess we can start at the end because that was pretty interesting, pretty cool, to be honest. I was like, oh my God, another Barry Caitlin scene where he's like, oh my God, tell us, talk about your feelings, blah, blah, blah. So that was like, how am I going to do this? But then it got really interesting. It's like the more Barry like stared at Caitlin and listened to her logic about why she has to do this, he's just like, this is a crazy person. It's like, Barry, I can create another Frost and I can bring your mom back and your dad back. And isn't that great? And he's just like, you are going crazy. So, and I also feel like it's the effect of him supercharging and destroying all of her stuff. I feel like for once, white woman tears did not work. And that was beautiful. But also, the effect of him being able to do all of that, which I don't think we've ever seen him do that before, was pretty cool and kind of it reminded me of when he was in the Sith Force and he became Neo, and now he can just control the Matrix and electrify everything in the apartment. And then he just like left. He's like, I'm gonna take your mirror gun too. And I'm gonna leave now. That was very satisfying, actually. What the main storyline? I was like, what else happened in this show? Sparks joy.
I mean, to be fair, this episode was a lot less hefty than the last one, so.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if it sparked joy, but I did think it was an interesting callback because Cecile was like heavy on Barry. This entire episode, I thought it was like funny when they found out that he had aged internally 30 years and she looked at him like, oh, do I see the wheels turning? She's like, oh, she's my age now. And Iris is missing. It's my time to shine. her being paired with him all episode was a choice, but I didn't really understand it until Barry started getting like dementia. Is it her grandmother that had dementia and that was why she was scared of going crazy or something? I don't know. No.
Her mom, right?
Did her mom have dementia or was she like schizophrenic or?
She might have been schizophrenic. It was definitely not dementia.
Okay. Well, then I've lost the plot again. When she had the heart to heart, I was like, you remind me of like my grandmother. She's so full of life and blah, blah, blah. I'm like.
Wasn't it depression? I think her grandmother had like some kind of like depression.
Okay. Bipolar or depression or something.
Yeah.
But I thought there was a connection being made between her grandmother deteriorating in the same way that Barry was deteriorating and all that kind of stuff. So that brought to the heart of the theme of the episode about you can't outrun time, but you can't embrace time, which they repeated like 3 or 4 different times to drive the point home, and how that paralleled with Joe, because Joe was another storyline. I don't know where we're going with this or why he is so concerned about vacuum cleaners and fixing stuff. Seeing being in the episode in general was such a beautiful surprise. It was great having Patrick back for that and to have him in be Joe's scene partner for the episode. And he said like a couple truths, like the fact that Joe is so stubborn, the way that they actually admitted that, like, you're a stubborn man, you don't want to change, you don't like to do anything new, I thought was really interesting. I don't know if they had to apply that to Dungeons and Dragons. Like, Joe, it was cool that you were holding out and then you lost me, but like, we don't have to all like Dungeons and Dragons, I'm sorry. Jesse, I feel like it was Jesse and not Joe at the end when he had donned his cape and went full, you know, slurry with his
"You shall not pass."
Yes, all of that. I feel like that was very Jesse L. Martin, and that was such a great scene for him. Story, not so much, but for him, it was good. And the whole idea of him actually embracing retirement, I did think it was going to go a different direction as far as maybe you shouldn't be retired. Maybe you should go into a new line of work and
Well, I agree with that. First off, it was really nice to see Singh. Love Singh. Happy that he was there. Although someone, I think it was in the Flash podcast, in the chat, they were like, Tatiana, your bae is back. And I was like, Iris is already back? And they're like, no, Singh is still good. Second place. That being said, I do enjoy a good D&D session. And it looked like most of them were into it. I enjoyed that Joe was not into it because that just seems fair. However, Of course, I was not enjoying myself at all until the table cleared and Joe was like, hey, I am concerned about Iris. I would like to share those feelings. And I was like, yes, thank you. I'm glad that someone is talking about this because otherwise I was going to lose my mind. So glad that there is concern for Iris voiced, even if the action is not necessarily taken. And I enjoyed that. Yes, I'll just skip to the end. And it was great to see Barry destroy the lab and be like, I don't think so. Not on my watch. We are not going back here again. That was great. Singh and Joe's discussions were fun, cute, nice. I literally don't remember what else happened in the episode, despite you just discussing it. But, I will say the Benjamin Button like situation, like it's like a fun idea. And they did what they could with it given the budget of the show, I'm sure, you know? So like seeing like the little gray hairs sprout or just being like, yeah, it's internal. And then like Barry like trips over his powers or whatever is, you know, like it was fun. And even though like they did a good job of selling that it is concerning, like what are we going to do? Even though you knew that, again, the stakes are not that high, he is going to be fine by the end of this episode. So yeah, also like that the dude is like looking for the Fountain of Youth, and at the end when he's like, what will I do with the time I have left? Or I have no time left, what will I do? And Barry was like, well, you'll enjoy it in jail or whatever. You know? I was like, yes, that was fun. it's like, look at the bright side. Less jail time for you, because you will die soon. But anyway. And also just a little joke about how he's no longer in his 30s, now he's 29. So they're gonna have a 30th birthday party again. That was fun too. It also made me forget, I don't actually remember how old Grant is now. I'm like, he's Grant 30. Is in his 30s, right?
32?
Oh, okay. But anyway, so yeah, overall, I think it was like a fun little, is it still an interlude? Because I feel like we haven't leveled up to whatever the next,
I assume the next two will also be interludes because... Until Iris is back. That's well,
the isn't Iris only Allegra. Back for two episodes? So it's like, what?
Exactly.
Sorry, what'd you say?
One of them is Allegra. I'm assuming the other is Chester then.
Oh, okay. Are you sure? Because I'm pretty sure that Chester and Allegra are one person and don't get to do separate
stories. That is very true.
But anyway. So yeah, other than that, I don't feel like that much happened in the episode, but there were moments there that like had some humor and fun and yeah. Good. There you go.
Yeah, I think I liked Barry's deterioration the most because I'm like, okay, well, if he can't remember that he has to save Iris, then maybe we can stall this for a little bit and have it make sense. but in general, I really liked his chat with Cecile because I feel like it's the most emotion I've seen out of Grant's performance in some time, rather than just talking like this. but it was nice to kind of like see his fears of not being able to remember the people he loves and even like specifically not being able to remember Iris before he can see her again, which was really like, I felt that. So that was really good. And even like Cecile's, talk about her grandma and dementia and how like you should just enjoy the time that you do have and stop worrying about like, you know, your age and all the years that you've had before, and kind of like paralleling the Joe situation too, where he's only been thinking about his past. He doesn't really know how to move forward because I feel like after a certain stage, people don't make plans or want to pursue anything new because of their age. And so I really liked how those two themes kind of came together. And I think that it gave Joe a nice chat with Singh, because I feel like he's been pretty bad at retirement for a while now, and finally somebody who is his peer was being, you know, being able to come to him and be like, it's not, you are the issue. Like, I feel like no one talks to Joe like that except Sing. And I love that he was back to have that talk with Joe. And it was just good to see him because I love him and he's been gone for too long. And I really even like the moment, like I chuckled when he was like, Kramer knows you're the Flash. I knew that you were the Flash first. I figured it out.
Oh, that was so cute. Yeah.
That was funny. I like that.
I think it was premature. Nothing really happened in this episode. It was very long. It felt long.
It felt long, yes.
And it was just kind of, you know, floating along. But
I feel like you're growing old watching the episode.
Yeah, I was like, I've aged 30 years. what did not spark joy?
No shade, no offense, all the D&D players. But I feel like someone should... For like one of the CW execs when they're doing their whole like negotiation of past season 9 or whatever should put in the contract no more D&D shit, because like Eric is trying to make it everybody's singular personality trait, and I feel like you're trying to make fetch happen and just like let it go, give us some other hobbies. I like that you're doing more outside of work stuff, but let's vary it up a little bit. Yeah, so and then also the fact that they're having this huge D&D session and being all like happy and having fun with each other when one of your family members, remember those that you're supposed to be able to drop everything and help them out, is still missing. And the fact that the explanation for it when Joe is just like talking to Barry about, like, I thought he was being a sourpuss because he was like, my baby girl is stuck in the steel force somewhere and we're out here playing a game. But no, it's about his retirement, but whatever. But the fact that when they had that conversation, Barry was basically like, well, I know she's in 2049 and I feel like she's safe in the steel force, so she'll be all right. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. Like,
would you leave someone stuck in the elevator as long as they're safe? No, you're going to try to get them out.
And what also doesn't make sense to me, and I saw some other people point this out too, if you know that she is alive in 2049, what's stopping you from asking her, hey,
how did you get out?
What were you going through in there? How can we help you? I feel like the fact that he doesn't ask future Iris, and if you want to say that she's fine, I would say, you know, because you checked in the future, and she's like, yeah, sure, you can leave me here a couple more days, fine, you know, but you don't know that she's fine, you're just assuming that she's fine, because she's alive in 2049, and I feel like season 3 Barry would have gone to future Iris to figure out how to save his Iris in the present, and whoever this man is, Bartholomew, does not do that, and it's just, because that would have been, you know, then Eric would have had to pay Candace to appear in the episode to have that conversation with Barry about what they need to do. And even if there's like steps to the process of you need to do A, B, C, and D, that could be something in the undercurrent that they're working on, building whatever device you need to make to crack open the Steel Force and find her or whatever. That could have been storyline, but we don't know because Eric doesn't want to pay Candace to appear in the episode to tell them, hey, this is what's happening. This is a time sickness. Anything about it. So while she's not on screen, the whole story is stalled because they're not wanting to do anything for her in the present tense either. So the fact that even though they don't know where she is, that's fine. But I feel like I was saying earlier, us as the audience, it would help us to know where she is or what's going on to add other layers to the story. Because we learned nothing new about this time sickness storyline while she's off screen and they're not focusing on it. So I feel like that is a huge, there's other stuff that I can complain about that I just don't remember at the moment, mainly because I feel like the issue with time sickness is just so glaring of a situation. Yeah.
We're not wrong. The time sickness is certainly the worst element. And like, as you were saying, like, of course, Iris isn't in the episode in order, or Candace isn't in the episode in order for Iris to be able to explain the situation, but like, she was in many episodes before that, and it was never utilized. They did not try to move it forward the way that they should have. They were like, here is one scene of her disappearing, or here is one scene of her disappearing someone. Okay, glad we know nothing. Moving on. So I don't feel like the story was planned out to the best of its potential, like, nearly at all. And now that we're much more than halfway through it, I think we've only got, like, what, 4 episodes left of the season or something? We are just seeing the, like, bare bones nothingness of how it's going to pan out. Like, at the end, I feel like we're just going to get her back, and we're not even going to have known what sent her away in the first place. Or we'll just get, like, a one-paragraph rundown of it in the second-to-last episode, and that will be that. Like, wow, thanks for that information. Aside from that, I really did not enjoy, or just I felt really weird about the Cecile and Barry scenes. Like, I just don't understand why they're pushing this relationship so much, because I don't feel like there's anything there to back it up. They just have these, like, little, like, heart-to-hearts, but I'm like, how did this begin? Why are they having this little heart-to-heart? It just does not compute in my mind. Like, I feel like there's so many characters that would make more sense. Like, Chester, for one. Chester being the analog to Cisco. Like, we can imagine how they've grown closer, and even if we haven't really gotten to see it on screen, and having Chester be the sounding board for Barry would make sense. Caitlin is the one that would make the most sense, other than Iris, because she's the only one left that's been around that long. I mean, obviously, Joe would make more sense than that, but...
I was like, what else is also weird is that this is the one episode and one storyline where a doctor to look over Barry's, like, medical records and tell people, like, what's going on with him would have been needed.
Right.
And that's the one time you're like, Caitlin is off somewhere else and we don't know where she is either. The right. One time she was actually useful.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Caitlin would have made most sense just literally professionally, like you just said, and then also as being his oldest friend that's there, because everyone else has left the show and or is stuck in the Still Force. And it's not like I want to see Caitlin and Barry scenes, but that is how out of place I feel the Cecile and Barry scenes are, that I'm like, Caitlin would make more sense here. So anyway, like, I did like the moment where Cecile likens it to her mom, right? Which she always does, or grandma, whichever one it was. Grandma. Sure. Okay. Well, Cecile's always, you know, so, like, that part, I was like, oh, that's nice. But, like, before that, and just even, like, in weighing that with the rest of it, I was just like, why is this happening? This is so weird. So, yeah. And then, you know, other than that, I just feel like we deserve more in these interlude episodes to justify not moving the plot forward. Like, there should have been some, like, real big emotional climax for one of the characters. Like, if each interlude episode was, like, dedicated to one character, that would be different. Like, last week it was Frost and Caitlin. That makes sense. And that was, like, was that last week? No, the funeral week was Frost and Caitlin. And that was, like, a strong entry to get to see, like, how Caitlin is dealing with Frost and how everyone's remembering Frost. Like, there you go. That's great. And then last week, I don't even know. I guess you could say that was Barry. That was Barry. And that was strong enough. That was a strong enough entry of, like, how is Barry dealing with Iris being missing? Cool. This week, I mean, you actually had Joe there for more than two scenes, so it could have been a Joe episode.
Yeah.
But it was not. It was like, Barry's aging, and Cecile's thinking about when people age, I guess. So anyway, I just feel like they could have structured that differently. Like Joe dealing with retirement and his daughter missing, like, feeling helpless in the face of he doesn't have his job and he cannot help his daughter.
Yeah, they didn't even, like, connect those two dots.
Right, which are very simple.
Skills,
yeah,
and that also brings up one thing that I was planning on complaining about. When Sing and Joe had that conversation at Jitters, and Sing was talking about, like, you were a single father with no other children, and you took in this boy named Barry and raised the Flash. You know, I'm exaggerating, but Iris is not mentioned in that conversation. Mm-hmm. He's like, this is the one child that, you know,
right,
you should be appreciated for, not the other ones, just this one, because this one became the Flash. So good on you for raising the Flash.
Okay. Yep. So there you go. That would be my complaints.
Yeah. I forgot to mention this in my joys before I go on to my non-joys, is the final scene with Caitlin and Barry, because I was like, where is this going? And he powered up. I was like, oh, he's going to destroy her lab. I got really excited for that, because that was, I've never said anything bad about this man in my life. I'm going to. But before that, I've never said anything bad. Because that was a great moment for him to make that decision. Because she was just spiraling. She needs help. Anyway, Nonjoids is this episode nothing happened at all. Not really. We are playing D&D. And I think the thing that irritated me the most was even like, not even the first time around, but like the second time around where it's like 1 week later. I was like, 1 week later, y'all still not found Iris? Are you not looking? Are you just hanging out and playing games when one of your own is missing? Like, the lack of urgency is starting to piss me off all season ever since Armageddon ended. There's been no urgency. Stuff just happens and that's it. And it's like, okay, but we need to have that urgency so the stakes can be raised. So we know that there are consequences that are coming. We know that there's like some villain who's just going to wreck your life. And I just don't feel like there's any of that. And it's just so bizarre and strange, like the lack of energy. Also, and it's like, oh yeah, Iris is fine in the Still Force. I don't know. I just think that to have her gone, like having her gone one episode would have made sense, and maybe have her back at the end of this episode would have made a lot more sense. Like, I don't know how they're going to explain her absence the next two episodes, because it's like, are you bothering to do anything? Like, you were proactive one time, and do you want an award? I don't know. Because it's not enough, and it's just like, I feel like it's so disrespectful to the character because she's such an important part of the show, and yet you can make her disappear for four episodes straight and think that like none of us will care. And that's not true, because her absence is clearly felt. And I just do feel like the character's not having that urgency to try and find her. I don't care if she's okay now. I don't care if she's okay in the future. You still need to try to find somebody. And it makes no sense that they wouldn't, because it just seems like they don't care. And that these are not the characters that I came to love, like any of them. And I think that it's just so, it's so frustrating and disheartening to see the writing kind of just crash and burn so badly with characters who used to care about things. And now they just don't even care about the person that they, you know, Barry claims to love the most in the world. So.
You know what? The other thing I think that felt off to me about the Benjamin Button storyline is that Barry is getting older and he's just like, no, we gotta keep going. I gotta keep going. Get the villain was not, it was like, you know.
He was whatever.
He was whatever. But the fact that he was rushing, I'm like, is he rushing because he's like, oh my God, I gotta fix this or I can't save Iris? And we never really got that. I inferred that. But even in his talk with Cecile, it was like, what if I forget Iris or I don't see her again or whatever? But it's not like, I need to fix this now so that I can save Iris. There was no connection there. Mm-hmm. Iris is mentioned twice, right. Once in the beginning, right. And once in that conversation. But there's no, it doesn't feel like she is a constant thought on anybody's mind.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, again, Joe, like, learned a lesson and then he's happy playing D&D. Like, okay. This is not what I expected, but all right. And so it's just really annoying. And I feel like someone needs to, you know, light a fire underneath everybody's asses at this point, because it's really, really annoying. What does Sonia think about this episode?
Let's find out. Sonia, tell us your thoughts. Reveal yourselves to us. She said, I believe that this episode of The Flash was the one directed by Katie Lutz. I did really love her friendship with Candace, so it sucks a little bit that they didn't even get to work together when Katie worked on Candace's show. That is an unfortunate thought. You are not wrong about this. As a side note, nope, I did not see this. Did y'all see Katie's ableist tweet when she talked about how she lost her voice and she shouted out the deaf and mute community because she couldn't talk? So they are the real superheroes.
Deaf people can still talk.
Yes. Deaf. Well, so I guess like I see where Katie was coming from with that tweet, but certainly she needs to think before she tweets and often before she speaks, because we have seen
her. Most people do, you think.
Yeah. Yes, because we have seen her put her foot in her.
She's saying that she lost her voice directing, and she's like, man, shout out to the deaf and mute community.
I don't think it was directing. I think she literally had lost her voice, like she was sick or something. So she couldn't speak. And so she was like, I haven't read the tweet, so I don't have the context, but it sounds like she was saying, like, you know, the deaf and mute community are the real heroes because it is hard to not be able to speak.
Oh my God.
Which I'm like, I see what you're doing, but. So anyway, she's like, back to feedback and no more bashing. Yes, let's not get in trouble with anyone. Speaking of an episode of That Iris, I was really mad they had Sing have that heart-to-heart with Joe, but only mentioned Barry. Oh, look at that, just what Jessica said. When you talk about he raised such an amazing person, why couldn't you mention what an amazing person Iris is? And also, you know, Wally does indeed exist and literally is also a superhero. But anyway, Barry using his powers to quickly save all those people was awesome. I also really liked the, so just the banana. Oh, yeah, that part was cute. When he took, like, the gun and the guy was, like...
Yeah, the opening scene when he was, like, saving people was, like, reminiscent of, like, season one.
Yes, exactly. Black. And, like, the old lady trying to give him money, and then instead she gave him the butterscotch. That was so cute.
That was cute.
Joe's reaction to playing D&D is my reaction to having so many D&D references. Tired. Sonia is just as tired as Joe is. With Barry mentioning Iris regarding D&D, I'm so glad Candace wasn't in this episode. She didn't have to partake. Why do you hate D&D?
My God. This also was like, because Barry is telling Joe that Iris is the one that got him into D&D. I'm like, this sounds false.
Right.
Like, he's telling me that Barry Allen never played Dungeons and Dragons and Iris was the one that convinced him to do it. Like,
absolutely
come on.
Not. Absolutely not. No. I agree with you. That's fake. That's fake news. But also, imagine getting to see that. You know, like, I don't know. Like, why would you tell, again, you're just dropping information about characters that is not congruent with what we've seen before, and also that we're never going to get to see flourish because you don't actually show it. Like, anyway. Having Sing back, yay. I love Patrick, as we all do. And also him being jealous about Kramer knowing Barry was the Flash was, I loved him being petty, saying I figured it out first. The Benjamin Button stuff was interesting. I found myself wishing this wasn't an episode without Iris, because I feel like she would have had a great heart-to-heart with him and would have told him all the things he needed to hear. Her absence was really noticeable. So true. Was I the only one confused with Cecile's storyline? Because the point wasn't that aging was bad or whatever Cecile's story was about. It was that Barry needed to not use his feet. Helping is bad. Aging is bad. Anyway. Speaking of relying on the team, why was this one episode where neither Allegra nor Cecile tried to help fight? Like, what was the point of having the powers in the first place? These powers are very inconsistent. We do not know.
And you know what? She's getting more in the new, because the new episode description just dropped.
Yep.
So the last episode before Iris comes back is Cecile heavy.
Oh, fun. But,
joy.
Crying.
She levels up, y'all.
No.
Crying. Barry is scared he'll forget Iris if we're coming back. My West Allen heart. I love how we are now desperate for anything West Allen related and we settle for these stupid crumbs.
So sad on these streets.
Yeah. The quote from Cecile, and that inspired me to do more with my own. What have you done with your life, Cecile? All you do is hide from your clients in Star Labs, butt into people's feelings, and forget about your daughters. They made Joe dress up for D&D, and they're dragging Sing into it too much. When will this nonsense end? Right? Why do you hate D&D? I am a D&D fan. I'm sorry.
We're not haters of D&D. We're haters of Eric trying to make it fetch.
D&D is fetch.
If they hadn't mentioned it as much as they did before, and we saw them playing it, that would be fun.
Yes,
that's, you know? Yes, true.
Just but I feel like there's no mentioning like they do with everything. And like more of this, more of us seeing them actually do things.
Yep. LMAO at Allegra saying she likes evil in profile, which is why she's constantly fighting crime, completely unmasked. Barry finds out Caitlin's trying to resurrect Frost and literally destroys her entire lab and apartment. She was being straight up cray anyways. Maybe now she can redecorate. promo with the return of Thawn. I'm excited for this episode, even though I wish she was played by Matt and not. Two more episodes of That Iris. I can do this, maybe. Thank you, Sonia. Okay, now do we have predictions about the return of Thawn? How are the Iris back?
Was in the trailer for next week.
Nor did I. So
I didn't either. I will say I still do think that the like Iris time sickness stuff has something, and like all the forces being messed up is because
it can't like, to do with Thawn.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe negative speed force stuff. I don't know.
Maybe the Dion that we saw is negative still force Dion and not our Dion.
That would be interesting.
There you go.
As long as they can actually do a good storyline out of it. That's what I worry about. The ideas are solid. The execution, not so much. Tati, do you have
anything? Think that Caitlin will go bad, or will she just go, will she deflate? Will she deflate, or will she become Caitlin Snow, the villain, or whatever?
She's going to become Caitlin Snowden. Like, she's going to get a little bit dark. And because I feel like
that would be a good villain origin story.
It would be, but I feel like it's sort of season three all over again in some ways. Maybe a little bit more, like it makes more sense this time around.
If it was like setting up a Caitlin versus Barry or Team Flash in that she leaves and goes to work for Carla or whatever. That would be something interesting, but we know that Danielle's not going anywhere. So,
well, and there was an interview. I don't know when it was, but I think it was Eric who said that there will be consequences because he recalled the specific conversation with her and Thawne during Armageddon.
She sides with another villain trying to harm Iris or like against Team Flash. Like, Don't bring her back.
Yeah. I feel like then we'll just be done with her. Cause I'm like, we've been here before and we need to move on. So hopefully that's not the case, but I do feel like she's going to go, like she's going to be pissed. Like Danielle's face didn't show that she was going to be, but I feel like
she will be. Yes. I doubt she's going to be like, thanks for helping me see the light. Although, you know what? Sometimes with the show, that might just be what happens. All right. Do we have a final Lady with Gumption?
Well, that Tati's taking over hosting.
I know. She's trying to move this along. She's like, we are taking two to now. Let's get it up. I've got stuff to do.
Yes. Lady with Gumption. Who do we choose?
I don't know. Cecile did a lot of the heavy lifting, but I don't like her. Because I'm a hater. But, like, I guess...
I would still give that to Nora, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, Nora would be the top winner. So, like,
she's
the nominee for the episode because there's, like, no other option. But Nora wins. I think we can all agree on that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure. Nora for Lady with Gumption of the Week. We'll be back next week to discuss something other than The Flash because we're going to wait again for the week after. Both episodes, and then we will have Iris back for the remaining however many episodes there will be.
Thanks, baby.
Tune in then, and we'll see you guys later. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.